once again, Happy New Year. You'll probably be hearing that for at least a month. I don't know when the acceptable time is to stop saying it, but probably by Christmas time next year. Last year, in case you forgot, we looked at the will of God, and from years past, we've looked at the be fit, faithful, invest, be teachable. We looked at the in order to save some, but this year, we're going to look at faithfulness. And if I haven't reminded you enough, the will of God is found in the Word of God. And it was something that God slowly but faithfully revealed to me throughout the course of the year. And through that very process, the Scriptures just totally blew me away. This year, the message God wants me to share with you is faith, or be faithful, more specifically, faithfulness. And what I found really neat, I went back and changed the calendars, and every year we get one from Gospel for Asia. And I hadn't looked at it, I just brought it in. And I'm hanging it up, and what is the year for Gospel for Asia? Faithfulness. That is so neat. But these are big key words in the Bible and critical to the Christian life. In fact, the word faith is found 245 times in the Bible. Faithful 85 and faithfulness 27 times. Now, the word faithful or faithfulness usually brings to mind, what do you think of? A dog. You know, your faithful dog. Or maybe a few friends. But what about God? Do you think about God when you think about faithful? I know even when I toss, or as I said a couple weeks ago, throw my highlighter at my dog. Which, by the way, when I came back from Wisconsin, I found chewed up on the floor. So I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking there, but she quickly comes right back to me when I call her, and she does it because her trust is completely in me. Despite my failings, I still feed her, house her, clean up after her, and above all, I love her. Her life, my dog's existence, completely depends upon her faith in me. It's in me. Now, for a Christian, the temporal and, more importantly, eternal life is based upon faith in God as well as His faithfulness. And how do I know this? I'm reminded from God's Word and our study through the prophet Habakkuk, where Habakkuk tells us in chapter 2, verse 4, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." We have to live by our own faith, but it's sourced out of God. Now today, we're going to see through the definition of faith and some of the promises and the pursuit of faith, how you can not only know God, but see and live for Him all of the time. So before we get into God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time. I thank You for Your Word and Your faithfulness, Lord, that even when we aren't faithful, You are. We ask that this time that You open our hearts and just open our eyes, that we just see You, Lord. Not only just that we just not hear about You all the time, but that we literally see You working. We just ask for Your presence, Your power in our lives and in right here today, Lord. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. And guys, if you don't have a Bible, I just encourage you just to get one. Get one, read it, and then live it. Because it gives us instructions on how to function in this world that is slowly kind of running downhill. Norman Geisler, I don't know how many have heard of him. He's a very popular Christian apologist. But as a child, he went to DVBS because he was invited by some neighbor children. And he went back to the same church for Sunday school classes for 400 Sundays. Each week, he was faithfully picked up by a bus driver. Week after week, he attended church but never made a commitment to Christ. Finally, during his senior year in high school, after being picked up for church over 400 times, he did commit his life to Christ. What if that bus driver had given up on Geisler at number 395? What if the bus driver had said, "This kid is going nowhere spiritually. Why waste any more time on him?" And just a little short recap of what Norman Geisler has done. He's now 74, 75 years old. He's a Christian systematic theologian, philosopher, and apologist, co-founder of two non-denominational evangelical seminars, Veritas Evangelical Seminary and Southern Evangelical Seminary. He holds a PhD in philosophy from Loyola and is well known for his scholarly. He's very smart and he contributes a lot on the subjects of classical Christian apologetics. He's one of the more well-known apologetics, if you're familiar with him. He debates systematic theology, philosophies of religion, creationism, evolution, Calvinism, Roman Catholicism, biblical inerrancy. Also, he's written more than 90 books and penned over hundreds of articles. Think of what that faithfulness of one bus driver in getting that guy there. He never gave up on him. The question many of you ask or should ask is, what is faith? What is being faithful or faithfulness, and what does it look like? Because we hear this word, but oftentimes, I know for me, I read about it, Hebrews 11:1, the definition, and I forever struggled with it until I went through the book of Habakkuk and then started really looking at the Word of God. Because you hear about it, but it's almost like this abstract concept. People say, well, have faith, brother. Have faith, sister. It'll get better. And you're like, what does that mean? Can I just have something to hang on to? You always hear of it, you read of it, you experience faith, but what exactly is it, especially how does it pertain to a Christian life? I mean, you often hear about great men of faith. I always say, Terry McNeil, when he took the brown van that he bought from church and took his family to the Grand Canyon, what a move of faith, man. Because I sold it because I didn't even want it to go out of the parking lot. He took it to next week, took it to the Grand Canyon and back with all of his grandchildren. But you know what? We often joke about it, but how does it fit within the context of the God that we serve? How do we handle, hold, and live and minister in faith? It's first mentioned in the Bible, not where I'm going to go get to Deuteronomy 7 in a minute, but it's first mentioned in Numbers 12:7. Where God tells us, not so with my servant Moses, he is faithful in all my house. And the Hebrew word for faithful is aman, and what it means is it's to build up or support, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, morally to be true or certain. Believe, it's steadfast, it's sure, it's trusty, and it's verified. There's a lot in there. But when you get the key concept, build up, support, steadfast, sure, believe, truth, and it's certain. Of course, your faith needs an object to have meaning. You just can't have faith in faith. It doesn't make sense. And that's where Deuteronomy 7:9 comes in. It says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, there's the object he gives us. Your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandment. Now, follow along. I'm going to read the Amplified version of that and go to verse 11. Therefore, now without any doubt, and understand that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who is keeping his covenant and his steadfast loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And then there's a second part. But repays those who hate him to their faces by destroying them. He will not hesitate with him who hates him. He will repay him face to face. Therefore you shall keep, follow, and obey the commandment and the statutes and judgments or precepts which I am commanding you today. The creator of the universe, the God of your salvation, is faithful. And notice how he links your God. He is God. He states that he's a faithful and believable and sure and steadfast God. He's not a make-believe God. He's always here. He's very believable. Now, faith in God, when defined and lived according to what he desires and designed, will keep you exactly where you need to be. in his will. Sometimes you think, God, how can this be your will for me? This is horrible. But you got to believe in him. That's where faithfulness comes in. As God's word was written to be studied, understood, and applied, we need to always be in it and be ready for what he tells us. Another question is, what is your relationship between your faith and God's will? I mean, we can't go our own ways and try to make it look like God's way. How often do we do that? Lord, I've got this all planned out. Please bless it. And then it turns into a disaster. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You know, a lot of times we try to make our foolishness faithfulness, but it doesn't work that way. You can't do your own thing and say it was God's thing. Sometimes you have to go God's way, even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. That's why knowing what faith is and who it is in is extremely critical in your life. Faith produces courage, strength, and results in being faithful and faithfulness towards God. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And he also provides direction in Proverbs 20, verse 6. "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" I love that. I love that verse. The King James translates that word faithful 80-some different ways. Sometimes when you look at the way it breaks down, it gives you different, almost like a thesaurus of words. But the one it uses more than half is believe. Believe. For the word faithful, believe is a key word. And when you substitute it, it makes sense. But who can find a believable man? How many people want it? Sometimes it's like, man, I just want somebody I can trust. Somebody I can believe. Somebody I can count on. Well, you have a God that you can do all that with. Faith also gives us rights. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now, God demonstrates his own faithfulness and support in order that those who follow him can move about and do his will and pass it on to others. Those are our testimonies, which are critical. And it's just not a faith in faith or the words of men, but from the source of love and life. That's what we get from God. And it's needed daily, guys, because evil is persistent. You ever notice that? You defeat it once, and it comes right back. It's like Satan runs this circuit all the time on the track. Couldn't do it here in Sundance because we don't have a tracker or anything like that. But it's coming. But it's like there he goes. Oh, I beat him this time. But man, that guy just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
He's coming around. Yeah. He's persistent. Yeah. He just keeps hitting you and hitting you. But we need God's insight for our soul when it comes to faithfulness. Martin Luther said, "God, our Father, has made all things depend on faith so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing." You know, I love having faith in God. I have a Honda that is over 300,000 miles. I have faith in it. But as the miles climb, my faith kind of dwindles down. And then there's the call of faith. 1 Corinthians 1:9, if you want to turn there, this is a great verse. And some of these verses, I write them in the bulletin, or we're going to go over another one in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But this one, 1 Corinthians 1:9, I'm going to read the Amplified. It's almost as if faith calls out to us. It says, "God is faithful. He is reliable, trustworthy, and ever true to his promise. He can be depended on. And through him," notice you can't do it on your own, "you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." I love how he puts that together. God is faithful, and through him we're called into fellowship with Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing else. We're not called out into something weird or strange. But the faithfulness of a Christian has to be held so closely and lived to the best of their ability. Notice I didn't say perfection, because none of us are perfect. If you're perfect, please raise your hand. I'm glad nobody did. I would have said we would have to make a New Year's resolution or come come and confess. We would have prayed for you. But it has to be so closely lived to the best of your ability in order to be evident to the dying world around us. That's what we're here for. We're here to be witnesses. And guys, your life is through and with Jesus. It's through and with him. And Satan likes to move it around. He likes to cast doubt. And a lot of times we allow it. We allow ourselves to get distracted. I came back. I updated my Word program before I left. Came back. I used my printers a lot. I have two of them. They didn't work. Man, I wanted to shoot them. But I named them Antelope, and I knew if I tried to shoot them, I wouldn't hit them. So. But I was frustrated, and it really got distracted until somebody told me, they just said, you know, it's the enemy trying to distract you. And I wanted to work on my sermon, and I spent an hour trying to get them to work. They still don't work. I got an Eliza's downloaded my computer, and hers worked because I didn't update the system. So praise God for that. But Oswald Chambers said, faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love, and there are some things only learned in a fiery furnace. Now, the call of God in the going is our faithfulness. And it's safe to say that anyone who has lived a Christian life can write down some sort of definition, which is not only reflects upon a lot of the verses I've used and the quotes we've looked at, but the believable, solid support of the God they know. It's your testimony. If you were to sit down and write your testimony, what you should see in there is the faithfulness of a believable God. And when you share that with people, they cannot deny what God has done in your life. They can debate a whole lot of things, but they can't debate that. They can't change what God's done in your life. They can't do that. Blackaby said in his devotional from December 21st, and guys, if you don't have a devotional, grab one. They're important to get. Find a new one every year. Kind of switch back and forth. I'm going to read Oswald Chambers this year, his utmost for his highest. I haven't done that in a while. But Blackaby said, your faithfulness, this is important, allows God to reveal greater insight to you, to the less faithful. Faithfulness brings opportunities to you that are not given to the unfaithful. God takes pleasure in answering prayers that come from a faithful heart. When you're following God, when you're close to him, he'll give you stuff. Amen. He'll show you stuff. I'm amazed how God just shows me things and it fit together. Not that I'm the most faithful, but I want to learn. I want to, like, God, you show me great and mighty things that I do not know, which I love to say in that prayer. It's like, God, you show me. Sometimes he shows you things and you're like, I'll take that back. I don't want to see that. And he's like, no, you asked for it. But an entire chapter in the Bible is dedicated to faith. Hebrews chapter 11, I think it talks about the word faith in there 18 times maybe. But and the testimony of the apostles all reflect it, and they continually wrote of it as they had lived it. We read about it. It's a calling I'll respond to, but a Christian is riveted upon and refuses to let go. It's like a dog with a bone back in the... It's like, that's my faith, that's my God. No matter what the world tries to do, I am not letting go of that. They can do what they want. They can take them out of schools. They can take them out of where... Guys, they can come and take this church away. That would only strengthen my faith.
Amen.
What are they going to do? Stop us from meeting?
Amen.
They could try, but we'll just meet in somebody... We'll meet in your barn. There you go. God, you go to the barn. I mean, they can't stop us from meeting. The greatest, yeah. The church grows the greatest, like in China, when it's forced underground.
Yeah.
I mean, if they think they're doing any big favors by taking away stuff, we're just becoming stronger. That's why I believe we live in a great time as Christians. We have to live our faith. We have to believe in it. And the world wants to see that. They want to see people who really believe in Christ. Sadly, the condition of the church today has more assurance, trust, and support in maybe a vehicle that has 250,000 miles in it, or 300,000 miles, than in a Savior who died and rose for them over 2,000 years ago. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Many of you know these verses, but if you don't, these are verses you need to know. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And we're going to start studying Ephesians in a couple weeks. Next week, Proverbs 17, then into the book of Ephesians. So, Ephesians 2:8-9. And notice how intentionally God uses the word grace and faith together. He says, for by grace you have been saved. He could have just left it at that. He could have said, by grace you've been saved. But he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And the Greek definition of faith is pistis, and I wrote it in your bulletin, because it's a great, when you think of faith, this is something good to memorize. The conviction that God exists, and the creator, and he is the creator and ruler of all things, to provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. That you just know, you're convinced, convicted, and assured that God does exist. And it's the persuasion of truth and the resulting assurance that nothing can come between grace and faith. You can't let anything come and divide them, because that's where the power is, because the object of love is the undeserved gift, and it's found in the Son of God himself. He just puts that all together for us. And also, the life in Christ is firm. We know that it's also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 2:23 tells us that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is one of them. It's one of the keys. Now, the call of Christ in your life always leaves a choice. We can either accept it, we can be faithful, or we can deny it. Oswald Chambers said, if we trust in our own abilities instead of God's, we produce consequences for which God will hold us responsible. Think of that. Often as adults, you know, our kids, you tell them. Finally, you're just like, just do it. I'm trying to help you. You don't want to listen, but you're going to have to deal with the consequences. I have too many examples even to bring up. But people can laugh that have raised kids or dealt with kids. Our principal of kids, our teachers of kids. You know, sometimes there's consequences for your action. Here's the good, here's the bad. Your choice. You can't redefine or remain separated from the creator of your soul without assuming any responsibility for your actions. Life is meant to be redeemed. That's what God wants us to do. Life is meant to be redeemed, or he wouldn't have sent his son Jesus. And it's justified and lived by faith in him. Nothing else. When you become a Christian, when you know God, you realize how vitally important all of life is. It's like it gives you such a meaning and a purpose and a course. It's unbelievable. It's the questions we've talked about the last several weeks. Not last week, because I wasn't here. But why am I here and what am I living for? Why am I here and what am I living for? Every day we should ask ourselves that. But by serving faithfully in God, even though we don't get specific answers, we get the answer. It's in him. It's what he's done for us. Now, some of the other promises and aspects of faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, if you want to turn over there. One other thing about teaching topicals is you really have to keep on track. Because faith, I mean, there's books that are written on this subject. But I'm trying to just give you how we need to be faithful and how God is in some key verses. But 2 Thessalonians 3:3, and you get a little longer sermon today because I wasn't preaching last week. So don't you realize that? When I miss a week, you get 5 or 10 more minutes. Because I missed you guys so much. But it says, but the Lord is faithful. There's no doubt. He says he is faithful and he will strengthen you, setting you on a firm foundation, and will protect and guard you from the evil one. Just think of all those things he'll do for us if we're faithful. He strengthens us. He protects us and guards us from the evil one. And faith isn't a straw man. It's not this hollow thing. It's not this object we can't comprehend. But it comes with promises, strength, protection, and guarding from the evil one. And it's not a great state-of-the-art security system. That people don't have them around here. Their security system is found in 6 shots or more, if you have different guns. You know, that's, you know, people leave their doors open here. Why? Because people know they have guns inside and they'll use them. But if you go up to California, you know, we bought our house out there, you want your security system hooked up? Well, yeah. Nice police helicopter flying by and shining its lights in my yard. Yeah. Yeah. And they already had one there. And all the neighbors, it wasn't a bad neighborhood, but everyone had a security system. But our faith isn't a great state-of-the-art security system or the best identity theft protection. It's sourced out of God of the universe because it's for us and it's all about Him. And it has so much to do with your testimony because it points to His faithfulness and it provides fullness in your life. And it draws others to Him. I love what Joshua says in 24:15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. The world does not need, guys, of more programs. It's in desperate need of those who serve God every day. Every day. It's not Christmas and Easter. Easter's coming up pretty soon. I saw the Valentine stuff in the store already. It's right next to the clearance Christmas stuff. But this day, it's not once upon a time, on that day I became a Christian, so long ago that I forgot the joy that I beheld. It's this day, today and every day, who will you serve? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Why is this so important? We all have a tendency, because it's human nature, to start trailing after other gods and earthly pursuits. It just happens. It happens. You know, you graduate, you go to college, your focus is shifting. You know, I need to do this, I need to do that. And God's like, well, don't you want to read about me? Don't you want me to help you study? Don't you want me to help you get through that? And oh, I got a new job, I've got some kids, you know. God's like, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here. But it's the process of life apart from God and the desire of the devil to separate, disappoint, and show you things that you might think you deserve, but in the end will destroy you apart from Christ. That's why we need to keep focused on Him. Because if you forget Him, it doesn't become all about God. It becomes all about, how did I get here? How did I get in this situation? Because evil is undeniably persistent. Now, just wrapping that up, that means it's not 5 minutes, it's about 10 minutes left in winding down. Fred Craddock, in an address to ministers, caught the practical implications of consecration or being set apart. He said, to give my life for Christ appears glorious, he said, to pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it, I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table and saying, here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that He sends us to the bank and has us cash in $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. We listen to the neighbor, the kids' troubles, instead of saying, get lost. We go to a committee meeting, we raise our kids, we give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life, little by little, over the long haul. But just think about this. God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and we're to work out our sanctification. He's given us our life to get to know Him and to realize what faith is. He's given us the beginning. He's given us those hard things. So when people look at our lives, they say, man, I can't believe that person went through that. Or I knew what they were, and I look at them now, I wonder why. And then you get to tell them, you get to share your testimony of your faithful God, His firm, steady consistency, His ability maintaining the changes in your life in a world which we live in. And it's not an easy thing to do, guys, but it's very necessary. It's very necessary for everybody. Faith is found countless times in the Bibles. We've seen that. But what makes the difference is when it's found firmly and daily in your life that's filled with the grace of God. Lamentations 3:23-24 says, it is because of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because His tender compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great and beyond measure is your faithfulness. Think about that. You can't even measure it. As soon as you begin to leave God out of your plans, you're placing yourselves above him, and that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. But when you're in him, it keeps you on a solid foundation and prohibits you from being consumed by evil, and it maintains a solid core of conviction. A couple more verses from Psalm 119 about God's faithfulness. Psalm 119, verse 75, "Know, O Lord, that your judgments are fair, and that in faithfulness you have disciplined me." In truth, he disciplines us. He doesn't make things up. And he'll never leave us or forsake us. Psalm 119, verse 90, "Your faithfulness continues from generation to generation. You have established the earth, and it stands securely." How believable is that? That's the God I want to serve. Man. That he doesn't change. We know he doesn't change. He doesn't have to change. Faith is essential in the life of a Christian. It provides the ability to see God every day, and the gospel holds potentials that have not yet come to surface. This book, God's Word for your life, has things for you that have not even come to surface yet. Maybe because you don't understand them, probably because you just don't need them right now. But it's still, you still have to read it to fill that foundation of faith in your life. Leonard Ravenhill from, if you guys ever want to get really convicted and motivated, read some Leonard Ravenhill, okay? I was reading one of his books because I forgot my Kindle, and I had this book called Revival God's Way. And he said, "Time was when people went to church to meet God. Now they go to hear a sermon about him." I was like, wow. You know, people used to come to see him, to meet him. Now they just came to hear about him, or me to tell you about him. But guys, he wants a personal relationship with him. If the Lord in his risen majesty appeared in some church groups, there would be a stampede for the door, he says. People wouldn't even recognize him. They'd be scared. They would run away. Why is it so important? Why is such a big deal this year and for your life? Is this thing called faithfulness. For by grace through faith, and when you personally put together God's word through your life and see the undeserved love by dying to self and completely trusting him, your life becomes simply unbelievable. Guys, God sets you up not to fail, but to have a life that is unbelievable. It's then and only then you not only come to church to see and meet God, you get up each day and every day expecting to see him work. You know, you wake up and you say, "God, what are you going to show me? What are you going to do today? What great and mighty thing are you going to do?" It's a reliance and loyalty that becomes more than a system of religious beliefs. It's your way of life. Not mine, not the person next door, not somebody else's. It's your way of life. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. While you're turning there, I just want to let you know that God is a God of love. He gives you the opportunity to serve him, but he'll never force himself on you. It's your choice on what you do with your life. But Jesus, his word, and his life is the best success story, not only ever told, but the one that can be forever lived and seen. Because, guys, it is real, it is life-orientated, and it is meant for each one of you. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul says, "This is a faithful and trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself." I don't know about you, but that's the God I want to serve and set before others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. God, I can't even describe what you've done in my life, but I just wanted to show it to other people. And Lord, I ask that everybody here be just filled with your Holy Spirit, that they just see you and meet you every day, that their relationship with you becomes so solid that nothing can shake their faith, Lord. Nothing can move them from what you've given them and what you have for them. Lord, just fill us as we go out and worship. Strengthen us. Keep us encouraged, Lord. And let us continue to look for you as our support as the believable and awesome unchanging God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand.